This episode is sponsored by Anchor by Spotify. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, and Ashley and I can definitely personally vouch for this. First of all, it saves you a bunch of time, so we don't really talk about this, but Ashley and I both have full-time jobs, and we don't really live close by each other, so we just get together once a week, every week, and talk about our podcast, and Anchor.fm helps us a lot to get everything out there and ready to go for you all to listen to with not a lot of time needed. So first of all, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. There are also creation tools right in Anchor that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or from your computer.
Also, Anchor is free, and even though you don't have to pay any money, it actually allows you to make money from your own podcast even without a minimum number of listeners. It's everything you could possibly need to make a podcast for free in one place.
So if you can't already tell, we both love Anchor. And if you're interested in starting a podcast of your own, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hi, listeners, and welcome to Above the Wing, a podcast to bring together all aspects of the aviation community, including engineers, journalists, mechanics, pilots, and even casual hobbyists. I'm your co-host, Kim.
And I'm your co-host, Ashley. We'll talk about all things aviation, from current events to new products and airplanes, to industry trends, and everything in between. Looking at our first In the News article this week, a man survived a flight from Guatemala to Miami in a plane's landing gear after hiding in the airplane's landing gear compartment. U.S. Customs and Border Protection said that its agents had taken into custody a 26-year-old man, quote, who attempted to evade detection in the landing gear compartment of an aircraft. A 25-second video posted on Instagram showed a man standing on the tarmac a few feet from the wheels of the plane. Two other men in yellow vests, one of which said American on the back, were standing next to him. The first man, wearing an unzipped jacket, jeans, and black boots, appeared to be dizzy and was sitting on the ground. The video then moved towards the plane and showed a small compartment inside where the wheels and landing gear had been tucked for the duration of the flight. A nonstop flight from Guatemala City to Miami is about 2.5 hours, according to American Airlines, and FlightAware.com says that American Airlines uses Boeing 737-800s for their flights from Guatemala City to Miami. In a statement, the FAA said that as of February 1st, 129 people had attempted to stow away in wheel wells or other areas of commercial aircraft throughout the world since 1947, and of those, 100 died of injuries or exposure during the flight. So I thought this was kind of crazy that he, like, survived that. Like, I can't even imagine what it would be like, just hanging out in there for the whole flight. Like, how did they find him? I still have so many questions.
I know, and also what happened when the plane started to land and, you know, like, the compartment opened? Did he just fall out? Hang on for dear life.
Yeah,
I'm so
right.
Confused and concerned. But I'm glad he survived at the end
of
the day.
I mean, it sounds like there was a lot of illegal, things going on here.
Yeah.
Just interesting way to travel.
I agree with you. Moving on to our next headline. Airbus reports promising results from 100% SAF, or sustainable aviation fuel, tests. This was a study to investigate in-flight emissions, and the associated ground test with the study began earlier this year and recently resumed. This study involves Airbus Rolls-Royce, German research center DLR, SAF producer Neste, researchers from the National Research Council of Canada and University of Manchester. This investigation included A350s powered by Rolls-Royce Trent XWB turbofans. In April, Airbus flew the A350 three times over the Mediterranean Sea, and the A350 was followed by a chaser plane, the DLR Falcon. This Falcon was equipped with instrumentation to measure flight emissions of kerosene, blended fuel, and 100% SAF. They were happy to report that the flight that used 100% SAF had, quote, no operational issues. They also said that SAF releases fewer particulates than conventional kerosene at all test and engine operating conditions, which means that there is a lot of potential for reduced climate impact and improved air quality around airports. So this was a really cool, well, I was just nerding out over this headline, honestly. definitely a promising result from this study, and I'm excited to see what else they find.
Yeah, I think the chaser plane part of this is like pretty cool too, that like that is how they maybe not necessarily have to, but like chose to detect some of this stats and stuff. Like that's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I've honestly never heard of companies doing flight tests like this to measure emissions. So this answers some of my logistic questions of how exactly they measure flight emissions in flight.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. A new report recently revealed the world's longest airline routes, and it found that Singapore to New York JFK, flying with Singapore Airlines, is the world's longest route, nonstop. The 9,573-mile route has a block time of nearly 19 hours in both directions. The aircraft used on this nonstop flight is often a A350, and it flies with a 161-seat configuration. Looking ahead to this winter, there are 21 nonstop passenger routes that will fly over 8,000 miles in just one leg. The report also found that Emirates has more ultra-long-haul flights than any other carrier, and typically the A350-900 is the leading aircraft on these type of flights.
Very cool. And now on to our last headline. Textron's Beechcraft Denali completes its first flight. Textron Aviation's new single-engine turboprop, the Beechcraft Denali, previously called the Cessna Denali, completed its first flight on November 23rd, marking the beginning of its flight test stage. The article said that it was, quote, flawless from beginning to end. This six-passenger aircraft is powered by GV Aviation's Catalyst engine, which is reported to burn up to 20% less fuel than older turboprop engines. A quote from the CEO says that, quote, today's flight is just the beginning for what we anticipate will be a long list of important accomplishments as we prepare the aircraft for certification and customer deliveries. So this was definitely an exciting milestone for Textron Aviation, and we hope the best for them.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. I have a photo from a couple years back at Oshkosh when they brought the like mock-up of the Denali. It was basically the aircraft without the wings, and I'm sitting in it, and it's a pretty cool aircraft. It has a really long nose on it, so it's pretty cool to see that it flew.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so now moving on to the bulk of the episode. Today we'll be talking about a woman named Sarisha Bondla, and this is a continuation of our featured flyer series. So just for some quick facts on Ms. Bondla, she is Indian American and she is Indian born. She speaks Telugu and her family is Hindu. She received her BS in aeronautical engineering from Purdue University. While she was there, she participated in lots of activities. She was the team lead for the Purdue Zero Gravity team. She participated in Purdue Solar Racing. She was a member of the Aeronautical and Astronautical Engineering Student Advisory Council. She was a part of the Purdue Space Day Executive Board, and she was the Boiler Gold Rush team leader. After Purdue University, she went on to complete her MBA at Georgetown University, and she currently works as VP of Government Affairs for Virgin Galactic. And that is why we are talking about her today. If you listen to our commercial space flight episode, you might remember that we mentioned her in that episode. She was a part of the Virgin Galactic Unity 22 mission, where she was alongside Richard Branson, Dave Mackey, Michael Masuki, Beth Moses, and Colin Bennett. While she was on board, she performed an experiment from the University of Florida, which investigated how plants react to the change in gravity. And this little feature about what she did on the flight kind of sparked my interest in Ms. Bondla. I like was so fascinated that she currently works as a VP of Government Affairs, but she was on the flight doing a scientific experiment And this experiment could definitely change how people survive in space because, you know, if you can cultivate your own crops in space and changes in gravity, then you can basically have a civilization, which was crazy to me.
Yeah, it was also really cool that, like, she did this on this flight. Like, I feel like a lot of the, you know, the hype around this flight was that, like, it was, you know, their first flight as a company or whatever, and, like, it was, you know, around the who's who or whatever who was there. But, like, she was actually doing, like, this really cool experiment on the flight. Like, she wasn't just sort of in it for the joyride. So that was, you know, really cool to see, too.
Yeah. Especially to me, I feel like this was a refreshing part of the quote-unquote billionaire space race, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
instead of definitely big flashy names going up into space, like, she was actually doing something that could contribute to society with this experiment.
Yeah.
Although, okay, maybe that was a bit harsh because the fact that billionaires went into space still contributes to society, but she it did does. A scientific experiment.
Yes.
This flight occurred on Sunday, July 11th, 2021, and made her the second Indian-born woman to go to space. She is the fourth Indian ever to go past the line of space after Rakesh Sharma, Kalpana Chawla, and Sunita Williams. This flight went 85 kilometers or 53 miles above Earth, which qualifies her and the crew as FAA commercial astronauts, which was very interesting to me. It's kind of cool to call yourself a commercial astronaut.
It's kind of crazy that, like, in order to be a FAA commercial astronaut, all you have to do is, like, do the space. Like, you don't have to, like, you don't have to, like, take a test or, like, anything like that, or, like, take, like, I don't know, like, flight lessons or something. Like, you have to just go.
And yeah.
Like, you're an astronaut. Like, that's
I wonder
cool.
if they have, I didn't read into what it means to be a commercial astronaut, but I wonder if they, like, have regulations on how they get into space.
Yeah, true.
Like, I'm sure people will get super creative and, like, I don't know, do something risky.
Probably depends on, like, what your role is. Like, like, it qualifies the crew as FAA commercial astronauts. So, like, someday when, like, just, you know, like, everyday people can buy tickets, like, that probably won't mean that you're an astronaut. Like,
I see what you're saying.
Know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, if it were, like, a regular commercial airplane, like, the pilots and, like, the flight attendants would be commercial astronauts.
Right.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Huh, interesting.
Right? We'll see.
Yeah. Kim, maybe someday we'll be commercial astronauts.
I know. I know. Maybe. And that's what's so inspiring, you know? But all jokes aside, her grandfather had a quote about her, which was definitely very inspiring. He said, "From a very young age, she had this ambition to explore the sky, the moon, and the stars. Sarisha has set her eyes on space, and I'm not at all surprised that she is all set to realize her dream."
Love that.
So wholesome.
It really is.
But there's a lot more to her inspirational story than just the quote from her grandpa. There's actually a Vogue article about her, and it made her seem so much more relatable and, like, just like every other space kid. She actually was denied becoming a NASA astronaut because she had poor eyesight. "I have terrible eyesight. I am terribly nearsighted in both eyes, and I have astigmatism, and I'm too short to be a NASA astronaut." So, you know, hearing about her, I was like, maybe I can go to space without NASA.
FAA commercial astronauts, they're just like us.
I love that. I hope they get, like, patches with that slogan embroidered on or something.
They need that. They need that on, like, Girl Scout patches.
That would be perfect.
It would be.
But yeah, so she's just the rest of us. She grew up reading Isaac Asimov. She binge-watched Star Trek. Her family moved to Houston for her father to finish his PhD, and while they were there, they bonded over air shows and visits to NASA Johnson Space Center. And these are all things that I feel like if you live nearby, definitely would just be fun, family-friendly activities that anyone can do.
Right.
And Vanla eventually went on to pursue her engineering education at Purdue, like we said earlier. And as while she was there and while she was trying to pursue her dreams of being an astronaut, she said, quote, she always felt like it was a very lonely path because she lacked similar looking role models. And she talks about her childhood hero, Kalpana Chawla. She was aboard the Space Shuttle Columbia in 2003, and the spacecraft disintegrated during reentry. Vanla was 15 at the time that Chawla's spacecraft disintegrated. Vanla said that she didn't know Chawla. You know, she followed her journey through the internet, and she still felt like she lacked role models in the field because, you know, the one person that she so looked up to passed away in an accident. And she said that she started to question herself, and this I feel like I've done and felt before. It's like textbook imposter syndrome. She wasn't sure, like, if this dream was feasible. She asked herself if it was all in her head and stuff like that. And she said that having a network, especially mentors, is really helpful for women in minorities and in the STEM fields or in any field, really, where they're unrepresented. And I think this is, like, the most wholesome part. She said that the biggest thrill of her spaceflight was realizing how her journey impacted others. She said, quote, for women to see themselves in me, either from a connection of where we grew up, how we look, or our culture is powerful. And that made me so, like, inspired. I don't know.
Yeah, it definitely says a lot for her as, like, a person. Yeah, that, like, that's where her head was at.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is, like, refreshing. In contrast to the billionaire space race, I feel like she is just a regular person who really wanted to go to space, and she went.
Yeah, and, you know, that definitely shines through in some of her earlier career too. You know, but also just as impressive, some of the work that she did before. She started her career out of college as a mechanical engineer at L3, which is a New York City-based company, and they develop advanced defense technologies, commercial solutions, and pilot training, maritime systems, and other space systems. She moved on to become the associate director at the Commercial Spaceflight Federation in DC, sort of stepping her toes more into spaceflight. She began working at Virgin Galactic in 2015, and she worked in their government affairs division. And then she served as their business development and government affairs manager. She later moved on to be the director of their Washington operations, and she now serves, as we know her, as the vice president of government affairs at Virgin Galactic. So she definitely had some interesting experience going into this, and you can tell it's definitely shaped her career and her accomplishments so far.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things I love most about her journey is that all of her experiences build on each other. Like, it's clearly not like she just came, like, magically one day she was like, I'm going to go to space and I'm going to buy myself a ticket or something like that, you know? Like, she clearly worked for this and, like, has had such a huge passion for this. And, you know, earlier we talked about the activities and societies that she did when she was at Purdue. And it's all, like, space stuff, or somehow related to aerospace and aeronautics. And I mean, that was her major anyway, but, you know, she definitely wasn't one of those people that just went to class. She, like, really loved what she was doing in class, and she wanted to kind of strengthen her, like, expertise and exposure to all these topics and, like, extracurricular activities, which I thought was very telling for how dedicated she is.
It's also really nice to see, too, that someone, you know, right now she holds her role as vice president of government affairs. And it's nice to see when someone in that position has hands-on experience in, like, what they're actually working with. You know, she has all of this, like, actual engineering experience. So I bet it helps her a lot in that role and, you know, in working with the people that she does and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I also feel like, especially in the engineering industry, a lot of practitioners feel like pigeonholed into technical roles. and she did a really good job of doing her technical work. I don't know if she enjoyed it or not. I wish I could ask her. But she did move on to, you know, work in DC, and then she worked at Virgin Galactic and doing government affairs, but it was still space stuff, so it's still down her alley.
Yeah, definitely a very, very interesting path. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. So just like what we said with Wally Funk, if you're listening, Sarisha, you're awesome. And thanks for everything that you do.
We're big fans of your work.
We're huge fans. If you ever want to meet us, we would be really, really excited.
We'll have you on the podcast any day.
Yes. So now moving on to our featured photo segment. My photo for this week is kind of crazy. So Lufthansa Technik came out with a Explorer A330. It's a converted A330 to be like this crazy luxury aircraft. It has a nightclub, a glass floor, a gym, a garage, 4 double bedrooms, and a veranda that is only supposed to be used when it's on the ground, which is definitely a good safety precaution. It also has a projection system that covers the walls, and the system plays like a range of backgrounds. So it can look like you're underwater, it could look like you're out of space, or you can like project like a disco thing on it. I think it's crazy. That, like, this freaking so plane. I know. This plane is bigger than my house, I think. I don't have a gym in my house.
I can't even imagine, like I'm picturing a gym, like, I don't know, like running on a treadmill or something, like flight. That's just so crazy to me to think about.
I know. I have so many questions about what would happen if you were running on a treadmill and you hit turbulence.
Well, right. Like, even just, like, in this photo, like, they're, like, dancing in, like, what looks like the nightclub, I guess. Like, what if something happens? Like, how are they not falling over?
And, like, the woman in the photo was wearing, like, high heels and stuff. Like, dang. They're really on that plane to party.
I love that one guy is in the front, like, sitting down. He's like, nope, like, I'm all set.
I know, but it looks like he's the most, like, smartly dressed. The other guy in the front has, like, khakis on.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. My photo is also sort of interesting. It is Tom Cruise, and in this photo, he is seen rehearsing one of his, quote, most dangerous stunts ever. He is hanging upside down on the wing of a warplane. It is doing a loop about 2,000 feet in the air. I have a lot of questions. I don't know how he's sitting there. I don't know why he didn't get a stunt double. Like,
also, why didn't they just get a green screen?
Right. Like, why are they doing this to him? Like, this is... like, this is Tom Cruise we're talking about. Like, you gotta be careful with this guy.
I feel like he always makes headlines for, like, dangerous stunts. Like, there's one Mission Impossible movie where he, like, climbs a skyscraper. And, like, he did that himself, I think. That was crazy.
Yeah, well, either way, I thought this was pretty crazy that, I don't know, it was him and that they do stuff like this. Very, very interesting.
Definitely. Definitely not your everyday general aviation content.
No, not in the slightest.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for us this week. Thanks again for tuning in. And for more content, you can follow us on Instagram at abovethewing.podcast.
Thanks for listening.